Everyone, this is the last of the series on Ma'aser Kesafim. We've been speaking about the level of the Chiyuv in the first place, whether it's a Deraisa, Derban, a Minhag. We spoke about various deductions a person could take before separating Ma'aser Kesafim, and now we're up to the final topic of what can you use Ma'aser Kesafim for, and particularly the question of using it for tuition, whether that's permitted and what level is it permitted. So let's begin. The Shulchan Aruch, really, the Rama tells us, source number one, he writes, quoting from the Haril, "Ve'ein lasos mimaiser shelo davar mitzvah." Person is not allowed to do a davar mitzvah. Cannot use maaser kesafim for any mitzvah. He gives examples: could go neros lebeis knesses to help pay for the lighting. Oh, shar davar mitzvah, anything else? Rak yitnenu lanim. The only thing a person is allowed to do with the maaser kesafim is to pay for anim, to give it for tzedakah. It's very clear from here that any mitzvah purpose is not permitted, only for the benefit of the niyam, only for the benefit of tzedakah. So the Ber Gola, on the side of the Shulchan Aruch, writes, he qualifies this statement of the Rama. Rama says two things. One hand, he says, you can't use it for a purpose of mitzvah. On the other hand, he says, you can and only use it for an ani. So the Ber Gola says there's really a middle category. And he says as follows, in number two, Shibbalav hachi mechuyiv akopanim lasas mitzvah. He explains the reason why you cannot use ma'aser to pay for the upkeep of the shul, for the lighting, for electricity, because you already have an obligation. And there's a klal of a rotu l'ptor mimenim ma'aser ein rashai. There's a klal in the Gemara. He doesn't quote the Gemara. The Gemara says you cannot fulfill an obligation of yours using ma'aser ksavim. If you have a chiyuv to do something, you have a chiyuv to buy tefillin, you have a chiyuv to shake a lulav, that obligation cannot be used by ma'aser ksavim. You cannot fulfill an already existing chiyuv with ma'aser ksavim. That's the klal. Aval, says the Baal Ber Gola, I rotu lasos bo mitzvah she'eino kvar mechuyav rashai. To fulfill a voluntary mitzvah, that's permitted. So if you want to, tzitzis, for example, tzitzis is not an obligation. If I decide to wear tzitzis, if I decide to wear dal kanfos, I have to put tzitzis, but I don't have to wear tzitzis every single day. Now, we accept it upon ourselves, it's very much encouraged, very strongly encouraged. But if I want to, let's say, do another mitzvah that I don't have to do, I want to be mafresh challah, I want to, what's another good example? I want to, what else comes to mind? Davar Rishus. No mitzvahs come to mind? Shiloh HaKan. I want to do Shiloh HaKan. So I go ahead and I buy the perfect nest to invite the birds to come. And or there's someone in the neighborhood who always has every past 2 years he's had a nest come, a bird make a nest for a kosher bird. So you buy the proper, the trees, whatnot, to invite the birds. I want to invest in that type of tree, that type of grapevines he had. I could use that money because that's not an obligation of mine. If it's an obligation, if it's a davar chiv, a mitzvah that's a chiv, I cannot use ma'aser kesafim. But if it's a davar reshus, then I'm allowed to use ma'aser kesafim. A voluntary mitzvah, I may use ma'aser kesafim. That's the chiddush of the Ber Gola.
So the neros, the basic nesses, the assumption is that that's a communal tax?
Exactly. Everyone who goes to shul has an obligation to equally pay for the maintenance of the shul. That's a chiv according to the Shema, exactly. Now, I don't want to get too involved, right? Maybe later we'll discuss memberships, but right now that's the assumption that it is a chiv, and since it's a chiv, you cannot pay for it. That's according to the Ber Gola's understanding, but again, a davar reshus, that's a mitzvah, you are allowed to use ma'aser kesafim. So now this brings us to another Maharil. The Maharil we saw last week about Matanos Levyonim. We discussed, is a person allowed to use his Ma'aser Kesafim to pay for Matanos Levyonim? And we discussed, the lamdas we were discussing last week was whether Matanos Levyonim was a din in tzedakah or it's a din in simcha. Those are the two sides. We had a number of nafkamina that we related to that very chakira. Let's read through the Shuvas Maharil again, Simen Nunvav. The question that was posed to the Ma'aril is as follows. Source number three. Im adam yotzei mitzvahs matana levyonim b'mash nosin lehem ma'os shel ma'aser. Can I take from my ma'aser account and use that money to pay, to fulfill my obligation of matanos levyonim? Mi amrinan, do we say kevin da ma'aser b'lav halchi shaykh lehem? The ma'aser already was earmarked for anim. Lo yotza, ma yotzei da nosin lehem mishalhem. I'm using their own money, even though I haven't given it to the anim yet. But it's coming to them. I'm taking their own money, if you will, to pay them for Matanos Levyonim, where they're supposed to really get an additional payment. So maybe I would not be able to tap into those funds. Odilma ikar takana kedei lesamcha. That's what we were medayik last week. The idea of Matanos Levyonim is to be making them happy, to make them besimcha. In Kain, yotze levyonim, I would be yotze by giving them ma'aser for Matanos Levyonim. Kainu makbidim im nosin lehem ma'aser im love. They don't really care where the money comes from. They just want to receive something. If they receive something on Purim Day, they're going to be besimcha. Whether it's money that was going to come to them anyways or not, they're besimcha. Rak sheim smechem v'tova sana shem ma'aser hu shabaylem. Uch shenosin laze ani v'lalacher. By you choosing this ani on Purim and not another one, az havi le simcha, they're happy. So that's the suffix of the shoel. Is it midin simcha or is it midin tzedakah? So the Maharil answers, tshuva matanos lev yonim, and he has daiti note de lo nafik b'malos meiser, you are not yotze matanos lev yonim using your meiser, kevin de takanta derabanani, have a davar shibachola. Now, even though it's a din derabanan only, it's not a deraisa to give matanos lev yonim, it's only a derabanan, it's still an obligation. V'nim seze pareya chova m'maiso. You are fulfilling your obligation by using maiser ksafim. So even though it's a mitzvah chiyuva, and therefore I cannot use my maiser. And he quotes the Gemara in appears in Chagiga and elsewhere at the end of the line, v'chol davar shebechova eina ba'ele min achulim. If I have to fulfill an obligation, I need to use chulin money, I cannot use maiser. That's a Gemara in Chagiga. So he paskins, you cannot use it for a chiv, implying if it wasn't a davar shebechova, if it was a mitzvah that's reshus, you would be able to use maus from maiser ksafim. What also comes out of here as well is not only chiyuvim that are deraisa, but even chiyuvim that are derabanan, you also cannot fulfill, you cannot pat yourself by using maaser ksafim.
The Maharil's Havamina would apply to every tzedakah and every organization. They don't care where the money came from as long as you give it to them.
And therefore what?
They're happy no matter how they got it. So then everything could be used for maaser, according to this Havamina.
I'm not sure whether for matanos lev yonim, whether I could use a meiser account that's already earmarked for tzedakah, can I use that for matanos lev yonim?
Correct. So you do that for every for membership and for the mikvah. In other words, the mikvah doesn't care where the money came from as long as you pay them.
Right. So what do you?
So then why can't you use meiser money for all these things?
Well, and I'm saying that if most meiser is a din in tzedakah, if it's only for the aniyim, then I can't use it for a non aniyim purposes. That's the question, whether I could use maus, meiser, ksafim, for only rak le'aniyim, like the Ramah says, or even mitzvos. So reading the simple understanding of the Ramah, rak le'aniyim, only give to the aniyim. But ready read to the Bergola, in the Ma'aril, one of the sources of the Ramah, sounds like you can't give to davar shebechova, but a mitzvah that's a reshus, you're allowed to give. So that's the, seems to be the machlokas.
How do we deal with the Ramah with the line of rak le'aniyim? In other words, l'maisa, we don't hold that.
Who says?
Seemingly.
Well, so right now the pashas is we Ramah Paskins, you can only give to the aniyim. We're trying to build this through. We're seeing whether it's really true or not. We didn't get to the bottom line yet. The Ramah writes, Rak l'aniyim, you can only give it to the aniyim. Bergola, the Ma'aril, again, one of the sources, seems to say that davar shebechus you're allowed to use for, not only for aniyim, even for non-aniyim purposes. We'll get there. We'll work it through. Now, the Magid of Ram Paskins in Hilchas Purim, source number 4, Mishalo v'lo mishal maus meiser. When it comes to paying for matanos lavyonim, you cannot use meiser because it's a chiyuv. You have to pay out of pocket. But vimbalahos, if you want to add more than the bare minimum of matanos lavyonim, let's say $2 of the minimum, whatever the minimum, let's assume $2. If I want to give more than $2 of matanos lavyonim, vimbalahos, mosif mishal meiser, I can use meiser because that's not a chiyuv anymore. My base chiyuv was $2. That has to come from chulin, but above that, which is a reshus, would be permitted. So it sounds like the Magid of Ram Paskins, you can use Maaser Ksafim for a mitzvah that's a reshus only. Now, if you look at the Darche Moshe in source number 5, who quotes the Ma'aril, the two of the Ma'arils here, the same person, but he writes one in the Tshuva Siman Nun Vav and another one in Rosh Hashanah. The way he understands his initial statement in the Ramah was the Ma'aril that appeared in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah. And the way he quotes this is in number 5, Da Meiser Shayech Lahanos Bo'anim. He again is consistent. The Darche Moshe is the same author as the Ramah. The Darche Moshe is the Ramah's parish on the tour. He writes, it's Shayech only La'anim. You can't use it for anything else. So it comes out as the Ramah in two places seems to limit it only to Anim. And the Ma'aril, the Bergola, and the Magid Ram seem to say it's permitted to a mitzvah that's not a chov. That seems to be the machlokas at this stage. Yeah.
From the Magen Avraham, is there a status once you fulfill the mitzvah, the extra, is that equal in like the same part of the mitzvah, or because it's like you fulfilled the main part of the mitzvah already, it's just a hasafa?
That's what exactly. He's saying once you fulfill the bare chiv, the bare minimum, then you've already fulfilled your obligation. Anything additional to that, it's a mitzvah, but it's only a reshus. Then you would be able to use meiser for a mitzvah that's a reshus. So the Chassam Sofer was asked this question, talking about a situation where a person was took upon himself to support his son in learning, and he couldn't afford it anymore, and he wanted to know whether he's able to tap into his Meiser Ksafim to pay for a person learning. So the Chassam Sofer goes to the Sugya, he quotes the Ramah who limits it only to Anim, then he quotes the Bergola who expands it to even mitzvahs that are not a chiv. Then he writes, if you go to the bottom of this source, number 6 in the bold, The Ber Golem made a mistake when he looked at the Ma'aril. The Ma'aril Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, and also in his Tshuva Simen Nunvav, Kasav Lehedya, he writes explicitly, Hatam Mishum Da Meiser Shayach Lanim Ve'ech Yachal Likach Neres Basic Nesim Malas Anim. The money already separated for Meiser Ksafim is already earmarked for Anim. How could I go ahead and take that money and give it to a shul? Afilo Lo Yechai Bem, even though I'm not obligated, I don't have to pay for the electricity. I'm stopping into a city, I dive in a shul, I want to give him a little something for having it available for me, but I'm not a member, I'm not obligated. So there's no chiv. How can you take the money that's supposed to go to the neim and give it to the shul? B'lav hachi mikol makom eich yachol ligzol neim. Ma'aser ksafim is exclusively reserved for that neim, and it's gezela to use it for anything else. Then he goes on, going to the next page, in the bold. Im kein, bivadai lo hayanog lahafrish b'ma'aser. If, let's say, you didn't have a custom upon yourself to separate ma'aser, so then mitvenu, miyakvenu. Deino goes on neim. That's not goza. Meaning, if I don't have a custom of ma'aser ksafim, I did not take that minag upon myself, then there's no ani who's going to claim the money. I want to do this b'toras chumra, separate some money, but not really in the real rules of the ma'aser. Then you'd be allowed to use whatever you want with it. But now that he writes tachanami, going on in the bold, micheven shenehenig gimel pamim. Since I took upon myself already, I kept it for 3 years in a row to do ma'aser ksafim. This ma'aser has turned into a minag b'toras neder now. Al hafrish ma'aser mi revach shelo. All my revenue, I take ma'aser from. Ulaseitu lanim, I always give it to anim. Shuv komashi afrush meiser have mimela lanim. Now, this minog means any hafrashus meiser must go to anim. Ulav kokimini liknos mimenu ner le beis haknesses. I can't use that money to buy for the electricity in the shul. Afilo einu mechuy behem. Even I'm not obligated. It's ochiv. Even a dover rishus, he says, a mitzvah that's a dover rishus, the chasam sover paskins, it's aser to use meiser ksafim. So although the Ramah and the Chassam Sofer are one camp that's only used for Aniyim, we have the Magen Avraham and the Ma'aril in the other camp, at least one understanding of the Ma'aril, that you may use it for a mitzvah that's a Davar Rishus. We have the Drisha. The Drisha talks about a situation, the post can talk about, can you use money to buy Svarim? Very hard to find, rare to find certain Svarim, many Svarim. Can you use money to buy Svarim? So the Drisha writes in number 7, Asher Sha'alta, that which you ask me, likno Svarim in Hamaiser. Can I use my Meiser Ksafim to purchase Svarim? Ani Rogil Lahoros Levnei Adam, he is accustomed to paskening. Kol mitzvah shetavo liyado, kigon lihios bal bris. If you want to be the bal bris, the mole, olach nischasim v'kal al chuppah, you want to help with the cost of a wedding. Uchayotzi behen, v'chein likno Svarim to buy Svarim, lumol behem to learn, ulashil nachim to lend to others, lumol behem. Im lo haya yecholis biyado, if you do not have the ability, you do not have the financial ability, and you wouldn't do it otherwise, mitzvah yachol liknos min ha-meiser. He said you are allowed to use it if you're very, very limited. If you can't find the sefer, you need the money, you don't have money in your out-of-pocket, only in your meiser ksafim fund, then you are allowed to use it for the purpose of buying mitzvahs. So Drisha goes against the Chassam Sofer.
But only for lending
it. He makes that stipulation of lending it out as well, exactly. Because another point here, you cannot use it for your personal use.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, but for the purpose of a mitzvah, then you're allowed to. And the Drisha and the Shach quotes this Drisha as well. So now we're expanding the camps a little bit. We have the Ramah and the Chassam Sofer who say it's reserved for Anim only. But then you have the Ma'aril, the Magen Avraham, Drisha and Shach who say it's permitted for mitzvah purposes that are davarishus. That's what it comes down to. Now before I explain what the best way to practice is, I want to go through this Chuvas Meshiv Davar who explains the lumness, what's the machlokus, whether it's reserved for the Anim or it's going to even go for mitzvah purposes as well. The Meshiv Davar explains as follows. We're going to read through, just jumping through all the bolds only. He first goes to the first psak of the Ramah, Litein Laniyim Dafka. The Ramah paskins, you're only allowed to use Meiser Ksafim for Aniyim. The Makor Lezer, the source is based on Yushalmi quotes, the Gra Bibeuro, and Yardea quotes is, Dainu Kemeiser Aniyim. We spoke about in the beginning a number of times the nature of Meiser Ksafim. Is Meiser Ksafim more like Meiser Ani, it's a din in Tzedakah? Or it's more like a general Meiser, let's call it Meiser Sheni. So the understanding that Meiser Ksafim goes to the Anim only assumes that Meiser Ksafim is modeled after Meiser Ani, which also only goes to Anim. And he continues to write in the bold here, Vein ha-bailim yecholim lishnos afilu mitzvah cheres. You cannot take Meiser Ani, Meiser Ksafim, which isn't like Meiser Ani, which is reserved for the Anim, you cannot change it to any other purpose, even for a mitzvah. But going down to the next paragraph, in the bold there, Aval mishenog liknos svarim lemod behem batzmo lashilim lacherim. Those, like the Drisha quoted, that allow you to buy svarim, mitzvahs, and lend it out to others. What's their source? How are they allowed to use for anything other than aniyim? Pi medjish tanchuma parashas re'ei aser taser. The medjish says, aser b'shvil tishtis asher, gemar in tainis. Mikan nagu pragmation mefarshi yamim lahafrish echad me'asar la'amali torah. The Medrash says you separate mice from all your revenue in order to give to those who are amal b'torah, those who are learning. Umein zehevi tosas tainis, he quotes this as well. V'nei mevuar, but also Medrash, the Medrash is clear that nagu lahafrish echad me'asar la'amali torah, not to anim, for people who are involved in the mitzvah of learning. Diktagu la'amali torah, lo la'anim ba'alma. Why? What's alumnus? Mishum de ikr parsha zu b'maiser sheni mairi. Maiser ksafim is not modeled after maiser ani. It's modeled after maiser sheni. Very different. What was maiser sheni? We spoke about it a number of times, where the guy would take, the farmer would take truma, give to the kohen. Maiser rishon goes to Levi. Maiser sheni goes to Yushalayim. What do you do in Yushalayim? He quotes a famous tosas in his place in Sefer Chinuch. Why do you go to Yushalayim? Look what he writes. He says, "Ma'aseh Sheni Iker Mishum Talmud Torah VeYira." He quotes the Tosfos in Kedushin Babasa, and there's also Sefer Chinuch, B'Shem Asifri, Gadol Ma'aseh Sheni SheMevi Lidei Talmud Torah VeYira. Why do you go to Yerushalayim to bring Ma'aseh Sheni? They also explain why do you do Alila Regel 3 times a year? Ki Mitzion Tete Sora. That's the source of Torah. It's supposed to re-energize you, reinvigorate you to continue learning more. You go to Yerushalayim to learn. So Ma'aseh Sheni was simply a hechatimsi to get you to Yerushalayim and learn the base medrash in yeshiva there. So Ma'aseh Sheni is a din in Torah. Now it's expanded beyond that. But right now the lumdus is as follows. If you assume that Ma'aseh Ksafim is like Ma'aseh Ani, so then it's reserved rak la'anim like the Rama Paskin. But if you assume Ma'aseh Ksafim is a din in Ma'aseh Sheni like we're reading right now, it's a din in Talmud Torah. You could use it for the purpose of mitzvahs, not only Talmud Torah purposes, but even other mitzvahs as well that are not chivim. And that's the lumdus that the Ma'aseh Davar explains this machlokas. Sadi Paskin, yeah.
It's just that's the first time that I've heard that the reason for Ma'aseh Sheni has to do with getting to Yerushalayim so that you'll learn.
It's a very interesting shita. Very interesting. But it's a toast, two toastosim, and a Sefer Chinuch who writes this. So that being said, so how do we Paskin?
Use a Shliach for Ma'aseh Sheni.
You could use a Shliach for Ma'aseh Sheni, yeah.
Not for
learning. Right, exactly. You can't accomplish that through learning. Right, I guess it won't accomplish at that point. Not everybody assumes it's about Talmud Torah. But these shitas do. How do you paskin? So it's a big machlokas. Rama seems to say it's limited to anim only. So what the mefarshim explained and the poskim say is as follows: since the whole understanding of ma'aser ksafim in the first place is only a minog, that's how we assume. Now there are shitas who hold it to their eyes, others hold it to their bottom. We assume it's only a minog. So if you assume it's a minog, even the Rama who holds that you could only give it to anim, if you took upon yourself initially that I'm accepting Ma'aser Ksafim upon myself as a minog, I'll deny that I'm going to use it for mitzvah purposes, then everybody would agree that would be permitted. So when a person does take upon himself ma'aser, he should tell himself, say to himself, I'm using the money for mitzvah purposes. Now, it shouldn't only be for mitzvah purposes, it should also be for aniyim. They suggest 50-50, whatever breakdown there should be, you shouldn't not give to aniyim, because Rama holds it's only to the aniyim. But a person may take a tanai and say, I'm taking ma'aser as a minog upon myself to give some of the money for the aniyim, for tzedakah, and some of the money for certain purposes of mitzvah, limud Torah, yeshivas, institutions, building mikvahs, yeshivas, things like that would be permitted. And that's what they really suggest to do for the ma'aser ksafim.
I have three questions coming up. The first one, just right now, one is that we said about using the ma'aser money, ksafim, in order to be able to for yeshiva, for learning. But if that has to do, sometimes we say you can use it for your own children.
Right, let's get the children right now. That's the next point. Let's get the children, and we'll see whatever I don't cover, you can ask me after. Let's go through right now the situation of supporting children. So before we get to the question of paying for tuition and yeshivas, can a person use it simply for supporting their children, buying clothing and food for their own children? So the Gemara, number 10, the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Nun tells us, Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat Oseh Tzedakah B'Chaleis. Praiseworthy he who protects the Mishpat judgment and does Tzedakah B'Chaleis. A person that does Tzedakah at every single moment. Asks the Gemara, V'chi Efshar La'asos Tzedakah B'Chaleis. Is it possible to do Tzedakah every single second? Just giving out pennies every single person who comes? You can't accomplish anything else. How is that possible? So Darshu Rabbos Seinu Shebiyavna. The rabbis who lived in Yavna, others say, Amri Lai Rebbe Eliezer said this. Ze hazon ebanav uvnosov kishen katanim. This refers to a parent who supports the children, gives mizonos, gives food, clothing, lechora, house, to his children when they're ketanim, when they're under the age of, let's say, 12 and 13 for girls and boys respectively. So that's tzedakah. So we see that it's a tzedakah to support one's own child when they're underage. Rashi explains, number 11, Zazan banav uvnos of ketanim, shetamid yom v'layla hein alav. The responsibility is upon you day and night to support them, to make sure they have what they need, that they have a house, they have a bed to sleep in, they have food, they have clothing. V'tzedaka she'enu chiv alav b'hem. You're not obligated. You could have children, but there's no obligation. You could let your children around, you know, wander the streets and take care of themselves if you really wanted. There's no obligation. And therefore, it's tzedakah for you to support your children. That's what the Rashi says based on this Gemara. So by you supporting your children, you're a very nice father. That's tzedakah for you. So the Gemara and Ksubis, they link together the Gemara and Ksubis, Daf Samech Haim Nebez. Darish Rebbe Ula Rabba Apischa de Beinisiyah. He once made the following drasha at the entranceway to the house of the Nasi. Even though a person doesn't have to support his children when they're young, but when they're really, really young, then you have to. Then there's an obligation. So at what point is there a chiv? And when does a chiv turn to a rishus? The Gemara says, ad kama, when is there obligation to support your young children, ketani ketanim, ad ben shesh? From the time they're born until they reach the age of 6, you have an obligation. That's a chiv. That's not called tzedakah. That's an obligation. As a father, as a mother, you have a responsibility to take care of your children. Once they reach the age of 6, they're on their own already. If you want to help them out, then you could do tzedakah and you could support them and buy them food and clothing, but you don't have to. So the Gemara in Ksubas Daf Nun, which says, Osit tzedakah b'chaleis, that's referring to, putting the Gemaras together, referring to above the age of 6, that's tzedakah. So you're allowed to use Maisek Safim L'chora to support children above the age of 6. That's a simple reading of these two Gemaras. And Beis Yosef number 13 says, Hanosin lebanav levnosav hagadolim, children who are older, sheinu chayiv mizonoseim, that you're not chayiv to pay, you're allowed to support them with tzedakah if they need. You could use ma'aser kesafim to support your own children. Kolomar shem yosel ben sheish. What gadolim means here, when he's quoting the Torah, doesn't mean above the age of 12 and 13. It means above the age of 6. Dil pchusim mi ben sheish. If they're under the age of 6, that's a chayiv. Chayiv who b'mizonoseim. You have an obligation. He quotes all those gemaras. You have to support your kids under the age of 6. But above that, there's no obligation. You're allowed to use Maaser Kesafim. The Taz quotes the Halacha as well. And he quotes from the Chuvah Mamre Rutenberg. Ulefazer Maasrosov Laniyim, and the Girsa should be changed to Tzarech Lomar Levanov. A person's allowed to use Maaser to support his children. Hagadolim Sheinu Chayiv L'Tapa Behem. That you're not obligated to support anymore. Mutter, that's permitted. How do you know? What's a raya? How do you know you're allowed to? Da'afil la'aviv mutter la'seis imhu'ani mishim kavod aviv. Let's say a person's father is an ani. Can I use my sirksafim? Can I use my own tzedakah to support my own father if he needs it? I have an obligation. Keep it out of aim. So even though there's an obligation, I'm still allowed to use my sirksafim. So certainly, a child who I don't have to support anymore, who's above the age of 6, I certainly can use my sirksafim to support a child. So it comes out right now. Is that if the kids are under 6 to buy diapers and all the needs for those ages, you cannot use any money. But once they reach the age above 6, then I'm allowed to use my 6 often to buy them clothing, to buy them food, and to perhaps pay for their mortgage because they're living under the same house maybe, and the maintenance of maybe all that stuff. You could break down, let's say there are 10 people in the house, so all the kids above age 6, you could kind of break down the ratio of what is going to them, and maybe you could use my 6 often to support. That's at this stage of the shear. But the Taz says differently. The Taz says not true. Go to the top of page 4 now. The Taz is talking about a situation. A person is not allowed to use Maaser Kesafim to pay for taxes. You cannot use your own Maaser Kesafim to pay for taxes. It's Aser. And even though he says the Gemara refers to paying for taxes could sometimes be called tzedakah, paying taxes, tzedakah. I'm helping the society, helping the city run. It's called tzedakah in one place in the Gemara. I still can't use it. How does he know? If it's called tzedakah, I should be able to use my tzedakah. So he brings a raya from our Gemara that even though it's called tzedakah to support children, it doesn't mean you can use my tzedakah. When you're supporting your own children, that's not called tzedakah. Yeah, the Gemara calls it tzedakah. It don't say tzedakah b'chaleis. But it's not really tzedakah in its classic meaning. I can't use my tzedakah to support my 10-year-old. Even though there's no real obligation, that's not called classic tzedakah. So he writes in number 15, Teda. That which a parent supports his children when they're young. We say, I'm reading about Perek Nara. Isn't that tzedakah to support my children when they're over the age of six? Would you think, can I use my own meiser ksafim to support children, even though they're over the age of six? Certainly not. So therefore, the Taz Paskins, you are not allowed to use meiser ksafim to pay for costs of raising your children, regardless of the age. What about if they're over the age of 12? For a girl, over the age of 13 for a boy, they're independent now. In theory, they could go out and get a job in Central Avenue, make some money, work as a group leader. So maybe they can support themselves. And if I decide to help them because they don't have enough money, maybe then they're considered aniyim, and I can use my meiser ksafim. So Rav Moshe talks about this shaila. I don't want to go through the whole thing here, but Rav Moshe writes, he's talking about supporting a wife, and in that discussion he talks about supporting children. You just read the last paragraph in the source number 16. He says, "Lachay nira in the bold, laniyas daiti, barur sheheicha sheha aim dar yachin banah, af shem yosem mishesh, even though they're older than the age of six, beratzen av, af shem gedolim, even if they're gedolim, they're over the age of 12 and 13. Kozman, shein haderech shebanim keilu yelchul laharviach, lefarnis asman. If they're an age where no one else in that community is going out to make, you know, get some money, without getting to the whole source of how it works with the obligation to support one's wife, but whenever there's an age where children, 13-year-olds, let's say, are not going out to make money, they're not going to get a job, they're not being a waiter, cleaning in a store, working as a group leader, if it's not common, and everyone in society there is supporting their children until they become the age of 18 or whatever age that is, you, now that has become a chiv, a societal obligation where everybody does that, and regardless of the age, whatever that's accepted in your community, that becomes your chiv, and you cannot use tzedakah to support them. But let's say you have a child who's 25, and he's just not making a living. He's off on his own. He's not living, even if he's living in the house, but in theory, he should be getting his own job. He can't get a job. He can't keep a job, and he needs money. Then certainly, he's like no other ani that you're allowed to support with meiser ksafim. In fact, we haven't discussed this at all. I don't know if we're going to at all, this year at least, but there's a whole order of who you give tzedakah to first. A person's krovim, if they're aniyim, come first. So one's child is the closest karov. When there's a child who's living in your house and everybody supports their own children, that's not called an ani. He's just an obligation. You have to help support. Not as an ani, not using meiser ksafim. But once they reach an age where everybody goes out on their own and are independent and get their own jobs and they just can't make a living, then there's an obligation to support them more so than any other type of ani. That's what it comes out in terms of meiser ksafim. You cannot use meiser ksafim to support your own children.
This includes married children that are learning, let's say, and parents are supporting them?
Certainly, yeah. Married children learning, 100%. When it comes to people learning, that's one of the best places to place to give tzedakah. Certainly, if they're aniyim, if they have no money, they need it, certainly that's one of the best places to give tzedakah.
Give directly through the school.
Depends if you want a tax deduction, right? in terms of tzedakah, it doesn't make a difference how you get it. As long as I get it, you want to get the tax, so then you have to go through this. If that's permitted, you have to ask your accountant.
How do we demarcate the mitzvah d'oraisa of pasach tiftachas edecha lechicha avyam versus meiser ksafim nowadays? You have a chiv d'oraisa, and when he comes to you, you have to give him something. How do we differentiate that from meiser ksafim and those obligations? If you go through Shulchan Aruch, it seems to be kind of compressed, even within all of the various halachos, there seems to be a mixing.
Correct.
The two.
Right. So this is I'm not sure if you're here for the first year, but this is our first year we spoke about the relationship of meiser ksafim to tzedakah. That depends. Goes back to that. If meiser ksafim is a separate type of chiv, they're not connected at all. It's a din of meiser sheni, let's say. A new obligation. Mechiv tzedakah is to give one third of a shekel every single year. The Gemara says that's all my obligation is. Meiser ksafim is a completely different type of din. All my revenue I need to take meiser from, and what I do with it, now we're discussing what to do with it. Others say that it's really a fusion of the two. Midrash, I'd have to give a shlish of a shekel once a year, that's all.
But that's the baseline.
And came along Chachamim and said, no, you have to give really more, do Meiser Ksafim on Tzedakah. Meiser Ksafim is really expanding the definition of Tzedakah. The first way I said it was the two different halachas,
right.
And the second way I'm saying now, it's really an expansion of the shear of Tzedakah.
Wasn't the shlish of a shekel just meant for an actual Evyon?
Like, in other words, everyone, no matter what their financial category yeah. is, has to give.
And
but really, that there's
Pashas is,
and then there's also a...
No, Pashas is every single person, no matter how wealthy you are, the Ber Chiv is simply a Shlish V'Shekel. That's Pashas.
But seemingly, the halacha is that you're supposed to give to every ani.
Anyone who comes to you, you give out. You give a certain amount of money, anyone who comes to you. But that's different than Meiser Ksafim, though. But that's a different topic. That was the first year we discussed a little bit. Now let's move on to tuition. So we already proved that you cannot use Meiser Ksafim to support children who are living in your house. You have to use your reg out of pocket. But what about tuition? So this question was posed through Moshe. Let's read through this tshuva together, number 17. The bottom of page 4. Im yecholin l'shalim schar limud libanos mimaiser, mimos maiser. Are you allowed to pay for girls going to school from your maiser ksafim? So you write to the next paragraph. Yinei bedavar im rashai l'shalim schar limud habanos bebeis sefer, shenikra beis Yaakov mimos maiser. That question, vada yesh chilek bein banim libanos. There certainly is a distinction between sons versus daughters. Medina, dililmon mikra hachayv ha'av l'lamid libanov af b'schar. There's an obligation that a father has to make sure that his son learned, and even if that means he has to pay someone to learn with him, that's a chiv. Umimela, who davar shebechova sheina rashai l'shalim ha'maisa, like we've already saw earlier. So any obligation that you have, a davar shebechova, you cannot use maiser ksafim to fulfill that obligation. So that has to come out of pocket to pay for yeshiva for the boys. There's no obligation for a daughter to learn, and then therefore no obligation for the father to teach the daughter. And if you decide to send to Beis Yaakov, that's not an obligation, that's not a davar shebechova. If there's a certain need, you want to keep her busy, you want to educate her. It sounds like you'd be permitted to pay because it's not a davar shebechova. You're allowed to pay for your girls' schools. Aval, he says, how nowadays the Medina Seinu Khan here in America, when he's writing this, Shemichuyavim Medina Dilmachusa, the government obligates us to send all children, boys and girls alike, to school. Lalam the Mibate Sefer Shalem, whether it be public school, they have to go to some school system. Ubechaste Shemiz Barakha Yisrael Ika Rishus Lalam the Mibate Sefer. Now the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us the great chesed allowing us to Tachas Hanalas Yisrael Kshem, to open up our own private schools. The Yir Hashem, Shinimsa, Shim Lo Yitain Behen Lilmo Beis Sefer Kasher, Kadosh Beis Yaakov. If we would not have a place for them to go, a private school, Beis Yaakov for them to go to, Lischanech Hashem Bederech HaTorah, Ve'emuna, Ushmir Samitzvos, to teach him the proper path of the Torah, to teach him about our beliefs, our religion, how to keep mitzvos, Hareyim Muchrach Litain Oso LeBeis Sefer Shel Medina. We would have to then send them to a public school. Shuchas v'shalom l'lo Torah v'lo Muna, without teaching Torah, without teaching any of our beliefs, be a terrible thing. Shezem chuyav gam liral shetev bitok sheira lahamin b'ashem b'taraso. So now it becomes obligation. Mimela, the last few words here, mimela hu davar shebechova. Now since we live in America, we have to send to school. There's no choice. You have to send to school. So for me to choose let them go to public school versus a private school, we're obviously going to choose a private school. And now that becomes a davar shebechova. I cannot use Meiser to pay for the girls anymore. And therefore, Paskins, you cannot pay for any schooling, whether it be for boys or girls. That's where Moshe ends. So, now what comes out of this is, there are a number of distinctions that Moshe himself doesn't make, that possibly can be made, but I'm not so sure if all of them really work. Number one is, some have suggested that maybe you could split up the secular subjects versus the religious subjects. But according to Moshe's far, it doesn't seem like that's a good distinction. Because you have an obligation to teach in the secular subjects. You don't have an obligation. The school, the government will not make you send them, the girls, to learn halacha, hilcha Shabbos. There's not. The obligation is to teach them secular subjects. So Moshe is talking about sending them to a school where they get secular subjects taught to them. It sounds like that's a davar shebechova. And even if you knew the split of how much was going towards the secular subjects, how much was going towards the religious subjects, that really wouldn't help because the obligation is to send them to a school of secular subjects. So I don't see that being a good distinction. The distinction you can make in how much money can be coming from Meiser is as follows. Some yeshivas will tell you what the breakdown is, because not every person who sends to school in yeshiva is able to afford it. So therefore raise the cost for those who can. Let's say cost per kid is $10,000, for example. But they make the prices $14,000. So the extra $4,000 in order to cover those who can't really afford it. So if you are able to, if they can tell you from the school how much the breakdown is, so then you could pay the $4,000 of surplus that you're able to afford, you can use your Maaser Ksavim. Because that's not going for your own child, that's going to help the other children, so for the Aniyim, who can't really afford it. So if you know that distinction, then you're allowed to separate it in such a way. That's if you know. If you don't know, I'm sure you could call up the school and try to figure out and do the best as you can.
But even if you know, you have to pay the 14. So you can. There's no way you can get off the hoop of the 14. You
right.
can afford it.
True.
So if you can, it's a kind of it's fault.
It's a good question.
Choice.
It becomes a chov. A very, very good question. So some yeshivas at Darchei Torah, they'll tell you that you only have to pay the $10,000, let's say. The $4,000 is a voluntary payment if you want to help support the others. It's encouraged, but it doesn't become an obligation in order to preempt your issue of it becoming a chova. What?
Rotsani.
Exactly. So you decide to pay for it, and they're pushing it, but it's kofen at Shiomer Rotsani. Exactly. But it's very highly recommended, and that becomes, they're doing this in order to benefit us, in order to take it from their Maaser Ksavim account. That's what they're trying to accomplish here.
Sounds like my answer is already no. Is that if you want to use my something in order to pay for your own Torah education,
for your own one. So there's another call that comes up. You can't really use it for your own hana, for your own personal use. That becomes a little challenging here. So you have, you know, you have no obligation. You have the obligation to learn. But you don't have an obligation to pay for your learning. So I don't think they say, I have to look this up, I don't think they allow you to, for your own personal use, even when it comes to learning, I don't think you're allowed to, I'll have to double check this.
Why is yeah. it any different than what the Magen Avraham said, that if the base estimate costs $10, or $20, and I want to pay one for $100, why can't I use the extra $80?
It's not so clear that you could use Maaser Ksavim for Hidda Mitzvah.
I can learn by myself, but I really can't get that far, but if I hire a tutor, I can really grow, and then I can use that extra money for Maaser.
It's a very good question. I'm going to tell you what he says here in discussing Hidr Mitzvah. When it comes to buying an Esrog, let's say I could buy an Esrog for $40. The cost is $40, but the higher end is going to be $120. If you get a Chazanish, $120 for a Chazanish one. So can you use that extra money for Hidr Mitzvah? Can that come from Maaser Ksavim? That's Hosef. That's above my Chiyuv. So he writes as follows. Even according to those poskim who permit this, it's Machlokes whether you're allowed to for Hidr Mitzvah. One may only do so on the condition that at the outset of his original acceptance of Maaser, he stipulated to use his Maaser funds. But he does write, in general, one really should avoid using Maaser Ksafim to pay for Hidda Mitzvah. So he does that record, there is a machlokas about this, but it's really suggested, he quotes down here from a number of different Svarim, that one really, the Meshav Davar, like we saw earlier, one should really not use it for Hidda Mitzvah. What's the explanation for this? I'm not really sure the explanation, because once you hit, it might be the lumnus of how Hidda Mitzvah works. Matos Lev Yonim, once you hit your chiv of $2, so above that, that's not considered hidder mitzvah anymore. Additional mitzvahs. Hidder mitzvah, there's this lum that the Brisker Rav talks about when it comes to the Maisa Mila. How much is hidder mitzvah really part of continuation of the original mitzvah? I'm wondering out loud. Maybe that's a connection. It's based on the Gemara and Shabbos that talks about when you have do the Bris Mila and they're tzitz and ma'akvin and they're ma'akvin of the Bris Mila, then even on Shabbos you could go back and remove them because you have not completed the mitzvah of Bris Mila yet. But let's say there's some tzitz and she'ena makvin, some skin that's left over that's not makiv. The meal is really done. They're just a hidder mitzvah. Are you allowed to go back and fix that? So the halacha is we say you're not allowed to because once you've separated from this, there's no more hidder mitzvah. Hidder mitzvah only works in the context of performing the ma'aseh mila in the first place. So while you're doing the ma'aseh mitzvah, you could continue and finish the hidder mitzvah. Once you've stopped, you can't do this anymore. So may the lamdas here is that the hidder mitzvah is considered an extension of the base mitzvah of an esrog. So just like the base mitzvah of an esrog, you cannot use Maaser Ksavim, so to the expansion of the hidder mitzvah, you can't use either. Perhaps that's part of the alumnus.
Why would you say that, John? Why would you say that you could expand beyond Matanos Lev Yonim? Magen Avraham is referring to Matanos Lev Yonim,
right.
You could call within the Gedder of Tzedakah.
Right.
Why would that apply to hidder mitzvah outside the Gedder of Tzedakah? We're talking.
Right. Well, then they extend it. You could buy Svarim.
It's a good point. I'll have to look into this. It's a very good point.
Sefarim is for public use. A tutor receives only for you. That's one thing.
That's true. We did make that point.
If you pay for somebody that is giving a public shiur and you also go, probably it's fine.
That's a good point. Because we did say Sefarim is only permitted when you use it to lend out to others.
Yeah, so Rav Moshe is saying the reason is not you can't take it because you normally would be forced to send them to school.
Right.
Okay. So there's two things. First of all, what about homeschooling? Second of all, after they reach a certain age, or especially when they, you send them to a seminary, so then that should be
100%. Once they get to a certain age where they're independent, and you don't have to support them, you don't have to pay for their teaching and schools, the government doesn't force them to go to school after the age of 18, let's say, then you would be allowed to help support them learning in yeshiva. 100%. And one last thing I have to mention before I stop is, someone asked me before about paying for memberships of shuls and yam neraim seats. So you mentioned earlier that anytime you're getting a certain hana out of this, you cannot use your own ma'aser ksafim. So you pay for seats, yam neraim, whatever the cost is, you're getting something out of that, so you cannot use ma'aser ksafim. But the real cost that they place on the seat is not really the value of the seat. The seat is, I don't know, $25, let's say, and they're charging you $250 for the yam neraim seats. So if you could figure out somehow what the cost of the seat is, so you can't pay for the cost, but the surplus you can pay for ma'aser ksafim because that's going to the maintenance of the shul. And then, whatever it is, I'm not saying what the, I'm just throwing out a number. Whatever the value is, you figure out with the Rav and decide where the split is, how much is really the value and can't be used for ma'aser ksafim versus the surplus.
What about a fundraising event? Meaning, so you go to a fundraising event, chances are, let's say you pay $100.
Same thing.
75 might be going straight to just to pay for the event, not even as the actual tzedakah cost.
Same thing. Or going to dinner. So I'm getting a dinner out of this. The dinner costs $50, but they charge me $500. So $450, which is going to the yeshiva, so that can be ma'aser ksafim. The $50 I'm gaining a dinner out of, that you can't use. Right. Exactly. Exactly. They break it down for you to figure it out. Okay, we'll stop here, guys.